what I need.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Welcome to Big Foamy Head. Let's do the Spare Beer Show.
Yeah, the Spare Beer Show.
We won't do a series of beers, so just dig around the fridge and find what we can find. We're starting with a Vesuvius.
Mm-hmm. From Full Sail.
That's out of Oregon, I do believe.
This is a 2007 model. I don't think it has the fins that the 2008 model has. Now, this is a 1.6 fluid ounce, nice little bomber, 8.5% of beverage by volume. So, that's pretty good.
So, we're doing a rare Monday afternoon show.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is the Memphis in May Beale Street Music Festival wrap-up.
That's right. Drying out.
Actually getting relubricated, I think.
Yeah, we really did not make slobber and drunk messes of ourselves this year.
Friday I was looking a little sloppy.
Friday was a little sloppy. Of course, it was a torrential downpour and tornadoes, thunderstorms, and we were out in it.
Yeah, right.
So we had to drink to survive because God watches out for fools and drunks.
Exactly. That was a survival technique. And I didn't even think about that, but I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's a good show, though. I mean, it's been a long 3 days, and saw 4 and 4:30 every night except last night.
Yeah, last night wasn't too early either. It was kind of a midnight, and that was a school night for the kids.
Yeah. So, good show, lots and lots of bands, and this is something I didn't know, didn't think about. You can see a lot of this on YouTube.
That's a good idea.
Just go and search for Memphis in May, and it's got the years. It's got the last couple of years.
So if you want to relive the moment, go buy yourself a couple of six-packs of 40s, yeah. Red Light 40s.
Yep.
Hose yourself down.
Yeah.
And go stand in your refrigerator for a little while. And then
and you got to find somebody and get some secondhand weed smoke.
That's right. Right. Somebody or a cigar.
Yeah. And cigar. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, they mix the weed with the cigars nowadays. You so you That's get the dual offensive smell.
Yeah. And then just go bang your head on the wall a few times, and you're right.
You're right there. And then go watch some YouTubes. Your wife might wonder what the hell you're doing, but...
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. And they got... I hadn't seen if there really isn't any video from inside the Blues tent. There's a lot of the main stage stuff with the My Chemical Romance and Disturbed and then some stuff from last year. But it was a good show in the Blues tent. The
Blues tent was rocking.
It was fantastic.
And that's really why we go to this thing. We don't really go to see Fergie and those people.
Although, but, you know, we kind of like slide down. And it was cool to see his double blues this year. Blues tent. And a blues shack.
Yeah, and it truly was a shack. It was like the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah. It was cool. It was good. Tiny little venue, but man, the sound's coming out of there. And
hosted by Southern Comfort. They had Wolfman Belfour. I forgot his first name.
Robert Wolfman Belfour, Richard Johnston, and Blind Mississippi Morris.
Exactly.
And just cool guys. And we went and talked to Blind Mississippi.
And they played their full heads off all weekend, man.
They did.
They were doing nonstop sets.
And it was great, man. Watching Richard Johnston play that Lobo, that was pretty inspiring. But this good stuff.
You know, you get Aretha Franklin coming in. Huge name, huge crowd. She comes in. She's huffing and puffing for 45 minutes. Takes 2 breaks during her set.
Yeah.
These guys are playing like 5 sets a day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of shows you the difference between when you've made it, when you've arrived, and when you haven't quite arrived.
Well, I didn't stick around for that. I was watching, and it was weird, right? Because I'm standing there, and I'm surrounded by all these women just grooving on Aretha Franklin.
Lots of women.
It was not an age thing. They were all, and I saw this young girl next to me singing along with words, and it's like, I don't even know the damn song.
Yeah.
But so apparently... I did not realize there was an Aretha Franklin. Women dig that Aretha Franklin sound. I couldn't hang. I had to leave. I had to go get something a little more guttural and raw. I mean, she was just too smooth. And
So, guys, if you want to set the mood right, put some Aretha on.
Evidently.
Not urethra.
Yeah.
Aretha.
The guy that was with us says, who's that? Aretha.
He was a young guy. He kept reminding us how old we were.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, you're hanging with the old boys bastard. Now.
Yeah, it's like, well,
you keep up. You keep up.
He couldn't hang.
Yeah. Well, I don't like that strong beer.
Yeah,
he started to like it towards the end.
So what do you think about this first beer, this Full Sail Vesuvius?
He's a nice guy, if you're listening.
Yeah, no, Noah's a good kid.
Noah, we enjoyed you.
This Full Sail Vesuvius, Belgian style, golden ale.
It's nice and clear. I mean, it came out as a kind of a dark lager, except it's a golden.
Yeah, it is golden. It's
got
white,
the nice fine bubbles that you white typically head. Enjoy.
Not too much, dissipated quickly. It says on there, Rate Beer kind of panned it, gave it a 55, and said the warming taste of alcohol. I'm not getting a lot.
It's a good session beer. Yeah. I could drink several of these and not be overwhelmed. You know, it's not going to destroy your palate.
From a taste.
Yeah.
Except with 8.5% volume. I mean, alcohol.
That's strong.
Yeah. And it says it's a summer beer. I don't know if it's I guess it is a seasonal release.
So maybe it's going to be one of those sneaky bastards going to come probably and whack you on the back of the head.
But we got, Monday afternoon, we got the grill going. We're going to cook us some chicken between segments. And
some of Dick's Award barbecue.
We got the pool.
I don't know if there's one on award yet, but it's going to.
Only one of these days. It's sunny, the rain, and the shit's going to come next week, but it isn't now. And
today's a day for living.
That's right.
And rejoicing.
That's right.
Had a good time, man. I actually feel pretty good. I guess it's because drink a lot of water, but
you're not totally dehydrated.
I'm fully recovered. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll see if we can't fix that.
Good to go. Get me primed for my flight back.
That's right. Get y'all lubricated. Pour you on the plane. Man. So it's big time. FSMA. I have to do it.
More coming soon.
I know, barbecue coming up in 2 weeks, and just all kinds of good stuff. So, of the bands that you saw, and all of the things that were going on, what would you say were like your top couple of highlights that you you enjoyed this year?
Well, I really like seeing Wolfman Belfort.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, was really remarkable.
Yeah.
You know, I got into Santana this year. I've seen them before. They've been here the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we were really hemming and hawing about even going down there. But once I got down there and got into the groove, it was like, that's a talented damn guitar player, you know?
Yeah.
So we've been seeing some of the guitar gods. Who was the other one?
Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy. That's right.
Buddy Guy was awesome.
Buddy Guy like came on an hour before Santana. Man, so
he's just wearing it out.
He tore it up.
Yeah. Playing everything. Played all these different styles. And, he's the man.
Yeah, he did some Hendrix, and he did...
just everybody. He did a little Stevie Ray type, and he did this and that. But, he's the guy, you know.
He the is British guy.
The guy. Who, Eric Clapton?
Clapton, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a great, great set. There were some really good ones. And,
so I think he was just saying, you know, I know how to play this.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. He and wasn't. He was.
I can imitate anybody's style if I really wanted to, but I got my own style. You know, and he's spinning that guitar.
Yeah.
This Buddy Guy, I think he's what, 60s, 70s.
Yeah, he's heading towards 70. I don't know.
He's
how close
in there.
He is.
And, but big, it was tall, strong looking guy. He looked healthy.
He looked great. Jerry Lee, I didn't get a chance to look at him. I heard him coming in. He sounded a little better this year.
I watched
year.
The Killer for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Did he look better than last year?
He did, and he was hitting those keys pretty hard. And,
he sounded.
You know,
he's
back
gotten
to his normal sound.
I think he's healthier.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, it looks like he might be back again.
Yeah, so. That's right.
Anyway, you got to check out these the old people while they're still around, just in case they don't make it. You know, because we saw Jessie Mae Hemphill that one year, and she
that
passed
was it.
Shortly after.
So. Yeah. No, I think everybody, all things considered, everybody's in pretty good shape that showed up there. I think Jerry Lee was the oldest one, Aretha, but man, she's big as a house.
What impressed you? What'd you think of those guys from the Isle of?
That's the guys. Backdoor Slam did it for me. Yeah. I was very, very impressed. 20 and 21 years old, three-piece playing. That and Doyle Bramhall last night.
Yeah, he was drumming.
Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't know he was a drummer.
So
that was surprising.
Apparently, he's done a lot of collaboration with Stevie Ray Vaughan, and he's done a lot of the blues scene out of Texas.
Yeah, and wrote or co-wrote a lot. I didn't know he co-wrote "Life by the Drop" with or I'm assuming that's Stevie Ray's song, but he wrote it. And he kept naming off, and here's one I did with so and so, and then he'd start playing it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. And
and he had one song which was probably a little send up. It's like, this is gonna be big for someone.
Yeah.
So it's like other people are making
big
hits out of his music, you know.
That's right. He writes and somebody else carries them. But That was good. And
I really liked his lead guitarist last night.
Yeah, Nick Curran.
Yeah.
I know that name. I'm going to look him up.
Now, he was out of Austin, right?
Yeah, somewhere. Tattooed, I know his name.
He looked like a
he's been
Bruce Willis with bleach blonde dyed hair.
In that movie, the Fifth Dimension or the Fifth, whatever it was. Yeah, yeah. And yeah, he was just a – and it was funny because he looked like he was almost bored, right, when he was playing. But then when it was his turn,
they gave him a
he
solo.
Just light up. Yeah, oh, and he did great. Man. So it was very cool watching them. And, of course, Backdoor Slam, that's the young guys. Blues guys, they keep saying British rock, but it's like, shit, they're playing blues, man. They're in the blues tent.
Yeah.
And did a great job. And I just downloaded the whole thing. So let's take and finish our beer off, take a break, and listen to some Backdoor Slam.
We'll be right back.
Man, that was cool. They were, and these guys are described as like British blues rock guys. I don't know what it is about we got to label everything, right?
Right.
I mean, what's the deal, right? But speaking of labels,
talented is talented.
We got a label here, man. This is this next beer we got. It's got a hell of a label, Reunion 08. This is brewed by Bison Brewing Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an all-organic, a beer for hope, organic red rye ale brewed with caraway seeds and what's benefiting myeloma and bone cancer research, which we just looked up to see. That's, you better get on your knees and pray you don't get it, because it's incurable, for one.
And, right.
It's a cancer of the blood. So there's no cutting that out.
So these three were friends. I remember doing this beer in the past. We did the first version of it. And this is drinking beer for a good cause. I like that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Pete Slosberg is one of the guys from Pete's Wicked Ale, I believe, for Pete's Brewing Company.
Okay.
And, it's brewed in Chico, California. And who's the other guy? Alan? I'll try and find his name. Alan, the other person that collaborated with this.
And they...
But the three of them are on the cover, and Virginia McLean lost her battle with multiple myeloma on June 4th, 2007. So, to bring you down after...
Yeah.
Getting y'all pumped up about the blues.
MMA blues festival. Hey, well, you got to bring it down a little if you're going to really enjoy the blues, right? Now, this is a tasty beverage. Ale brewed with caraway seeds, and it's a dark, it has got the reddish, a little reddish tinge, brownish, orangish, color's reddish.
Very nice.
Yeah.
It's an amber, I would say.
It's got a, it's kind of a, I get a little tiny bit of that kind of rye, the caraway flavor, but it's an earthier taste to me. And this is what, in my experience with red ales, is what you get. I don't know if that's because of the way some of them are brewed, but to me, this is the taste that I associate with a red ale. And
when I got this guy that was rigging me up, he goes, oh, yeah, I've drank like six of these. So, yeah, really? It's a good beer.
Okay. And good stuff. Benefiting myeloma and bone cancer. That's good that you can drink a beer for a good cause. And so I looked it up. So this is not this. Okay, this reunion
Somebody's got that as a tagline. Saving the world one beer at a time.
I thought that was us.
No.
We said that before.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you know.
Somebody, that's their official tagline.
Everything we say or somebody else says, somebody else is going to use later, right?
That's right.
That appears to be the way of the world these days. Doesn't matter who says it. So our new tagline is just drink it.
Jeez, where'd you get that one from?
Yeah, who knows? See if you can figure that out.
That sounds like a national marketing campaign, but I just can't place it.
Yeah, it's one of them. I don't think anybody will remember. There's no chance I'd ever get in any trouble with copyright or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. Yep, got ale.
That's funny.
That'll be our other one.
All right, so what's your true opinion of Lou Reed?
Oh, sucked ass. God damn.
I haven't heard Dick bitch and complain that much in a long time.
Well, I would preface it by saying I never got the whole Lou Reed thing anyway. I mean,
I got half of one song.
Well, way back, you know, when you did enough drugs back in the 60s, people who were poets became musicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, Jim Morrison. He never was a singer. He was a poet, right? The Lizard King.
Right.
Okay. Lou Reed is in that category to me. He's not a singer. He's a poet.
To me, he's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
Everybody knows his name.
Well, yeah, and he sings some stuff. You know, he's got, if you read the words, they're pretty interesting. But you've got to be, you know, pretty baked to really appreciate Lou Reed. And I wasn't.
Yeah.
And apparently, despite the level of bakedness I have myself achieved, I had never gotten Lou Reed baked. So
He seemed to have a lot of people there.
Well, yeah, but God, I heard some of it. It's like, oh.
I didn't hear anybody say one good thing about the show, though, that he did.
I mean, you know, I was wandering around, and I was kind of aggravated. I wanted to see some of the newer Seether and Disturbed. I wanted to see them. I missed My Chemical Romance completely, which somebody was saying, is that your kid's music? It's like, no, asshole, it's mine. I listen to everything, you know.
Right, right.
You, what is it, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And so I listen to everything just to see.
Well, you can enjoy good anything. I mean, it doesn't matter what generation produces it.
Yeah, I remember Mike was calling in saying he went and saw Disturbed, and he was talking about how good they were. I'll tell you what, though, this was cool.
I mean, it's like Hannah Montana. Have you clued into that one yet?
Yeah, right. Actually, my kids like that one song. She's got this one breakout song that apparently all
throwing that
kids,
out as a joke.
Now, my kids hate anything like that.
Oh, okay.
But they got this one song that, it's got a beat and you can dance to it, apparently. And they're all saying, hey, okay, that one. Just that one, right? But I tell you something that I thought was pretty cool. And Alan and I were down enjoying a big fat pork chop sandwich. Man. That's living large on the river, eating a pork chop sandwich by the Blue Shack.
Food from heaven.
It is great.
You've been going on and on about the sandwich.
It was great. It's the best pork chop sandwich ever.
Basically, it's a 5-inch thick pork chop.
It is. It's a big fat piece of pig right there on a bun. And we were down there, and I took a picture too. I mean, seriously, the sun was going down. I had to take a picture of it. It was that good. It was a Kodak moment.
He's definitely gotten into the sandwich.
And
I've heard a lot about it.
And then
the
Finger 11 was playing. And they got that song, Paralyzer. That's their big hit. Okay. So they're playing. Your CD is done. I heard it go ding. Paralyzer. Okay. And that's a cool song. But they took it to a whole nother level. They were playing it. And then while they're playing that Paralyzer, the riff behind it, they segued into a cover of Led Zeppelin Rock and Roll.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
And tied it right in. And then they segued from that into Pink Floyd. Another brick in the wall.
Where was I?
And then came back to Paralyzer. And Al and I were going like, damn, look at them. They're like paying their homage to the old school, you know? It was very cool.
Where was I during that moment? That's something I would have enjoyed.
You were down at the other end. I think you were with Alex. Your son, right.
Yeah. I hooked up with my son this weekend. So
yeah.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Yeah.
She was
well,
definitely
we started
there.
That.
Yeah. She did all her hits.
And
counted them out. She was wailing.
She did. She thrust some of her new shit onto us.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same. But I guess you know
she's not quite the same rebel as she used to be. I mean she's kind of
and we the debate there years. The debate still rages about how much, if any, work
skin
she had done.
She's had done on her face.
She's fit.
No doubt. She's definitely worked
you
out.
You can't do
she's
that buffed. With plastic surgery. She's still pretty buff chick and if you remember the videos.
She used to be bulky. Now she's thin and lean.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know.
You remember the video she did like this weightlifter thing. She had like a little leopard skin thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She did good. She did real good and thought that was pretty cool. A lot of crowd interaction.
Kev Mo tore it up.
Kev Mo, damn. That was a whole different kind of blues.
Yeah, that was Louisiana like, style.
Yeah, that, but it was very subtle. And this is the thing I noticed that
we have to get some Kev Mo on
the show. We saw Kev Mo, Robert Balfour, and Richard Johnston, I guess, was just him, but there's a lot of two piece guys.
Yeah.
And that was something I noticed. I had never really observed this, but a lot of these really talented blues guys play the bass line with their thumb. And so
that's definitely
there.
What Kev Mo was doing, right?
Yeah. And I was watching Richard Johnston, I was watching Robert Balfour. It's like these guys are playing technically two instruments at once. Richard Johnston, it's three because he's still using foot drums.
Yeah, he does two drums.
Yeah, but watching
and he's got his lobo.
Watching
plays, and sometimes he has a harmonica, I think.
Yeah. They'll break out the harmonica every so often, but it's like the amount of sound that comes out of one or two people, and
I don't know the drummer's name with Robert Balfour, but man, she was
talented.
She was talented, and she was digging on it. And
they had the official dancer there.
Yeah,
the first day Friday dancer. He was in a white suit.
That was so cool. Yeah. I mean, that guy was just like getting the crowd pumped up, and he was shucking and jiving and praising and dancing around, and he was enjoying the hell out of himself, and the whole crowd got into it. It was very cool.
Much like we're enjoying this beer.
Oh, yeah.
I like this.
I got
is
high
a
price
really
for this.
Tasty beer.
Yep.
So,
well, this is good, and of course,
one of those I don't care what Reaper has to say about it. I'm enjoying it, and it's for a good cause.
And it's a low volume, 6.5%. It is a lot of flavors. I don't know how much of this I could drink because although it's very enjoyable, it's a lot of taste.
Definitely coats your tongue, coats your mouth.
Yeah, so. And I guess, you know, okay, we'll throw a bit of drama into the show. This has a special meaning for me, too.
Yes, okay, let's go there.
Because I've been kind of, and you may or may not have noticed that we've been kind of sporadic on shows and this and that and the other. So here's the deal. Basically, I got cancer, and it was the melanoma malignant shit, and got it all cut out, got some crotch punch, lymph node harvesting. Everything came back clear. I'm all clean, all good. Dodged a massive bullet, and very nice, because had this got in, apparently, you got 6 months.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was it.
It was a real tense week or two before we found out the results.
So I've been carrying this around for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to tell y'all, and you know, I did the conference call with you and Mike right before. What, the day before?
Day before
I went
surgery,
in.
Right, yeah. thanks for sharing, Dan.
Well, I've been, you know, so that's why if I've been off a bit or whatever, it was because had a couple of things on my mind. So glad it's done.
Those of you who have commented about the shows, you know, and, you know, where they've been, that's why.
Yeah, I'm playing the cancer card. So you have to forgive me.
He's been running his wife ragged. But
yeah.
I had cancer.
Yes, right. And it's like, all clear. She says, okay, well, I need you to pick up some stuff. And here's what I want you to fix. It's like, okay, well, damn, the party's over. The pity party is over.
Yeah. That pool pump's making a little noise.
Can you go there and fix that?
Yeah, that's funny.
Nah, but that was, so it's been, the summer's getting off to a most interesting start. And it makes
Well, we weren't sure if you were going to be real healthy for the music fest, but you didn't slow down at all.
No.
You swelled up your ankles.
I did. I had a little edema from the surgery, but I'm okay. I'm all good. I got a cool scar now.
We're tough bastards.
That's right. Where there is beer, there is no fear.
We look soft and pudgy, but we're tough bastards.
That's right. Don't let this candy coating fool you. Now, this is a good time. So we've had a real good time, and I think I've enjoyed things a lot more here lately. Nothing like a little, you know.
So go buy this beer if you can find it.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Yeah, it's a tasty beverage.
It's a good beer. It's for a good cause.
And
you'll
for
enjoy
a good
it.
Cause.
Have it for a meal. I don't know.
A
meal. What would you have?
With this? Because this is a real kind
maybe
of a spicy.
Pasta?
Yeah, maybe. It's got that earthy texture. So I would think maybe some meats and real robust foods.
I wouldn't say. Would you say spicy foods, though?
No, not spicy.
I think that overwhelms.
Robust. Like, you know, some sharp
maybe
cheddars
some fats in it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a
some fats
it's a,
and oils.
Yeah, it's an earthy taste, and that's what I keep using that word repetitively. But that's just kind of it. And I mean that in a good way. It's a real.
So maybe some clam fettuccine or something.
Oh, you know? Yeah. That'd be good. Of course, like yesterday, and I don't know if it'd go with seafood so much. Maybe like some lobster or something, but I don't know about fish. Might be a little too overwhelming. Yeah, this is kind of an interesting one.
Well,
I think the pasta,
and lobster, or shellfish. So
I think the pasta one. Yeah, if you did some linguine, yeah, be good stuff. Yum.
Just enjoy it by itself.
So I think we got to go tend the fire again and start burning some chicken, and let's do another little backdoor slam. See, that was the first one. I forgot to even mention the name of the first one. That was Come Home, which is kind of like their signature cut. And let's play another one. This is the one, another one that I noticed on YouTube. A lot of people recording live and posting Outside Woman Blues.
If you lose your money, a great God, don't lose your mind.
Outside Woman Blues.
Had to go back. We've had ourselves some barbecue.
Yeah, it's actually been quite the long break.
Barbecue chicken.
We cooked us some chicken, and it came out great. Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And we just sat outside drinking and watching the day go by. And
kids came home from school.
Kids, yeah. It's a big time.
These kids go, there's my old man. Drinking beer in the afternoon.
Drinking and cooking.
Recovering from cancer.
That's it. That's fun. Yeah.
So, hey, good job with the chicken. I like that recipe.
Well, good. I thought it came out good. It's pretty. Really,
yeah, and it's moist and tasty. And well
good
done.
Stuff. And so we got some moist and tasty beer coming up, but we've had a couple of moist and tasty ones during our break. Right?
Yeah, it's going to stretch our memory cells to try and remember what they were. We're looking at a bottle right here. So
we had
Chateau Giahou.
We had that, the Chateau Giahou. That's the dogfish head one. And
it's 9,000 years old.
Yeah. And Sick Puppy was raving. He liked this.
Yeah.
And he nominated
aged really
this.
Well.
And
I
this
think
is
for
the one.
9,000 year old beer?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Damn, is it right 9 or 2 or 12?
No, it's 9,000 years
old. It's an old beer. Yeah, it's held up well. You
it's, I didn't even know they bottled them back then.
I know, and these nice, the label and the artwork for 9,000 years old, it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it was Chinese, so they were
held up really good.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at something that says bottled 7-11-07.
Oh, so maybe it's not. This is the newer one?
Okay.
So, but we had that, but we saw, we had the from Bamberg, the Hellesbach, right. The right. Smoked, the Hellesbach.
From Schlenkerla.
Schlenkerla. So we had a little of that. And then we had...
That was a very nice beer, by the way. Yep. That was not one of those big smoke bombs. It was
not one.
More of what you expect a lager. And you were saying that it's what a Budweiser ought to be.
Should
really.
Be, yeah. Yeah. It was a it was a little corny and grainy, but there's no corn in it, of course.
No.
And it was a very rich mouthfeel for a lager. And we enjoyed that.
And we had the coup d'etat. The Sparks.
The Sparks. The money shot. We had the Sparks, not the cheap ass 6% that we get here. Now, this is Texas Sparks. It was 7% alcohol.
That's the good Sparks.
So that jacked us up a little bit.
That's like Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And now that we're back on the ever popular third segment.
Yeah. This is our spare beer show, so...
And this is
we're allowed to drink anything we want.
And really. We need to lightly cleanse the palate. We got the bad boy here.
We've got to rinse out the sparks.
We've got
the foam, the persistent foam that sticks around the
That's
like
right.
Fluorescent orange Kool-Aid, you know.
This one is green or toxic looking. I don't know because it had more alcohol or what. But
wow. Okay, so we're about next to beer.
Yeah. We're about to, ooh,
yeah.
Mama.
Here it comes.
Tread cautiously, because we're about to enter the dark territory.
That's one of the big bad boys.
This is a semi-ale, and this will hurt you.
From Avery Brewing Company, of course, right down the road from where I live.
Yeah. And semi-ale, this is the oak-aged ale, and it's a... Light little guy at only 15.53% alcohol by volume.
2008 version.
2008. So this one actually, we could have aged this a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This could definitely sit in the cellar for 6 to 10.
And it's
and I had a vertical tasting of the Sam Ales, and amazing how it changes. I mean, it gets that more oxidation as the years go by.
Mm-hmm.
Boyle's Law, I learned that. And that's the differential or pressures for... gases, right? So
okay.
Oxygen creeps into the bottle, even though it's capped.
Yeah.
That's why you really, if you're going to age a beer, you should dip it in a little bit.
Wax.
Of wax. Yeah. Right.
All right. So this is a, and we were talking about semi-ale. I know we covered this on the show back. We're not going to look it up again, but it's the bottle has this winged figure. You can't make out the face or the body, but you get the kind of hint of the wings there. Mm-hmm. The, a fallen angel. And so it's
part of the demonic series.
Part of the demonic series. And this is, it's kind of deceptive. You look at it, it's got a nice, kind of dark, toffee color. And the head is, it's got a little lacing on it. I see little curtains going around on your glass. And got a nose. Got a little bit of malt and sugars and a little thickness in the nose itself. Oh, man. But this is going to be a rough boy here.
So it says, Samael's the prince of demons, the angel of death.
There he is.
Accuser and destroyer, filled with enmity.
Enmity?
Enmity?
Who hasn't been filled with enmity?
Towards men. He planted the vine, the forbidden tree of paradise. Behold his venom and vengeance, both sweet and tempting. Enticing you, his spellbound victim, within his wings.
Ooh.
Brewed with Rocky Mountain water. I love that Rocky Mountain water. Malted barley, turbinado sugar, hops, yeast, and American oat chips.
So it's got turbinado sugar.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's different.
All right. I want to address this because I'm back here in Memphis enjoying the Memphis Aquifer water.
Right.
And it kicks ass over any freaking water I taste it anywhere.
It's some good water.
I mean, the water pressure in this town is like blows me away compared to the shit I got out of Colorado. So, you know, they might have Arapahoe glacier water, but that ain't shit compared to aquifer water.
They got your glacier hanging.
Yeah, they got their glacier hanging. Yeah.
And I'm looking here. I pulled it up. They only got an 88 on this.
On the 2008 series?
Yeah, from these subjective bitches at Rate Bear. They rate this an 88. 466 ratings. And now this one, they show ABV of 14.9. So we've got the obviously the little tighter, stronger one here.
They've been jacking it up every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're, that's actually one of their goals. Is to
it's a warmer. It. I mean, you take a sip, and it's like, if you don't drink anything afterwards, you feel it just kind of building in the warmth back of your throat. Good stuff.
Now, one of their Belgianaires ales, they have Styrian hops in them. Mm-hmm. And apparently, they can't get them anymore. So it's like.
You can't get Styrian anymore?
They're like some
basic noble type of hops.
There's something coming out of Czechoslovakia.
Styrian and some of the others, aren't they? The noble hop class.
That's why I really hate dealing with facts. Really.
Yeah.
Because I always kind of screw them
up. Well, you know our motto, if we don't know it, we make it up.
We make it up. But no, I mean, they were talking about the fact that they're having a real hard time getting a certain variety of hops out. And so it might be the last year you can actually get that formulation of beer.
And so the next one will be different, right?
Right.
But that's going to be true for everybody. I mean, with the hop,
the
alleged
hop shortage.
Right, air quotes, hop shortage. So, I don't know. I think it's been done to death. And, you know, I noticed there's been no shortage of good beers coming out. So, I'm okay with that.
Competitive market. People just have to try harder, I guess, right?
Man, this is a warm rascal, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. This is going to screw us up. I hope we get you on the plane on time.
We have time.
This could be a flight killer. Right here.
One of those, well, I missed my flight. Why? Yeah. I was drinking. Sorry about that. Hey, that's Dick's phone.
Wait a minute.
Got those a call bells, coming in. A little AC/DC.
Okay. Apparently, they don't know we're recording here. So, we've been out there in the backyard enjoying some backyard slam and all kinds of, just all kinds of good music.
Backdoor slam.
That's great. And, we played a little of them and then we were listening to some Carlson's. The music that we've enjoyed over the last couple of days has been fantastic. And this is what, to me, is what kicks off summer. Memphis in May is the official summer kickoff. And, very nice. Good time as always. A little less, you know, my wife was saying she didn't think the lineup was
she
as
wants a better
good.
Lineup for next year.
Yeah. But I think there was enough here for everybody. I know I got my money's worth out of it.
Well, we saw Pine Top Perkins and Hubert Sumlin with Billy Gibson.
Yeah. Billy Gibson was good. Hubert Sumlin and Pine, you know, it's nice to see the legends. But, geez, at some point, you just got to stop. And Pine Top, although he was playing and stuff, he's just wore out, man. He's 80-something years old. And nice to see him, but, yeah. Man, the energy is just not there anymore, you know?
There was a Jewish rapper, Matajahu, I didn't see, but I heard
a lot
about
that. I passed on that.
I guess the younger generation kind of
I don't think in 20 or 30 or 40 years from now we're going to be seeing the rap legends. No, that'll be so over and done with.
Well, we won't, but will they?
Nope.
I mean, when they're our age, will they be going back to revisit?
I cannot see youth? It. I cannot see it because I think they will be like the Hughes Corporation or the Peaches and Herb.
What freaking freaks me out is when you see a kid in high school, maybe a sophomore in high school, running around with an AC/DC shirt. I saw that when I was in junior high.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, some things, that's where quality bears the test of time.
Yeah.
And I think some of this, you know, this the Jewish rapper, it's a shtick. It's a hook. It's something just to make a little deal. It's like the first rap act was Lord T and Eloise. I mean, they're dressing up like Victorian era costumes doing their rap. It's a parody. Right.
Did you have anything to say about Fergie?
No, because I
Fergalicious.
I only heard her when I was going to the Pisser, and I heard her doing Barracuda.
I heard her doing some of her Black Eyed Peas stuff, and I really like that. I mean,
she's got a good voice.
She does, but in Black Eyed Peas, she'd go in and she'd do a what do you call it? Where you're singing one verse basically,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. She can belt them out. She's got a fantastic voice.
She's got a great
range. I don't think she can carry it as a talent, you know.
Well,
but
obviously she's doing quite well for herself. Good for her.
But Michael McDonald sang those classics.
Yeah, and we saw the end of that.
Yeah.
And our young friend Noah is going like, oh, yeah, I know that song. I know that song. I said, well, you ought to.
Yeah.
It's been around forever. Right. Yeah.
He's got a huge following. Actually, he can sell his own concert stadiums if he wanted to. The Black Crowes, they tore it up.
Yep.
I didn't see a lot of them. I saw probably four or five songs, but I hit most of their hits at the end. And then Doyle Bramhill.
Bramhall. Yeah, Doyle was cool. And he played this one, and this is one, I'm just going to kind of segue to that. And I didn't know he co-wrote this, but this is one he did, or he allegedly co-wrote. I don't know with who, but it's Life by the Drop, Mrs. Stevie Ray Vaughan's version, Life by the Drop.
Hello there, my old friend. Not so long ago, it was till the end. We played outside in the pouring rain. On our way up the road, we started over again. You're living our dreams, oh, you on top. My mind is aching, Lord, it won't stop. That's how it's happened, living life by the drop. Up and down that road in our worn-out shoes, talking about good things and singing the blues. You went your way and I stayed behind. We both knew it was just a matter of time. Living our dreams, oh, you on top. My mind is aching, Lord, it won't stop. That's how it happens, living life by the drop. No waste of time, we're alive today. Churning up the past, there's no easier way. Time's been between us, the means to an end. God, it's good to be here walking together, my friend. Living a dream. My mind's got aching. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. That's how it happened, living life by the drop.
And we hope you enjoyed that Stevie Ray Vaughan.
We're listening to the smooth sounds of the Backdoor Slam.
Yeah.
There's a coming young out. Man from the Isle of Man, and check them out, the upcoming artists.
Three young men. They're a trio. I'll tell you, we got our blues on here.
We're doing our AM radio thing, too.
Yeah.
Let's talk over the music.
That's right. The Sam IL has got us in the mood.
It's a warming beer.
I know.
And it's intentionally warming. It's meant to be a sipper.
It is a sipper. You're not going to go hard on a semi-ale.
Unfortunately, my sips tend to be large quantity sips.
Yeah. With 15% alcohol, can you go wrong?
But I only sipped it three times.
No, officer. We was all in the back seat. Right, okay, so we got to share a Memphis in May moment.
Let's do it. I think it's a funny story.
Okay, not last night, night before last. Now, bear in mind, this is 4 in the morning. And our friend Alan had gotten a ride home with somebody else. Well, Alan
doesn't have a house key.
Doesn't have a house key. He's having a camp.
His wife doesn't have a house key.
That's right.
Not a damn one of them has a house key.
So he's having to camp his ass out in the backyard. And
it's cold.
It's cold.
42 degrees.
So he had a little hypothermia actually when he passed out around 3 in the backyard in the hammock for an hour and woke up chilled to the bone, delirious, lost his voice,
great
and he's
guy.
Calling. It is like his last gasp. Calling saying,
I'm locked out. I don't know where I'm at.
Of course, we're comfy and warm and IHOP eating pancakes.
We're eating breakfast.
Breakfast.
And we said, we're coming, Alan. Give us a minute. And about an hour later, we finish up at the IHOP. So we're cruising down the road, and we're calling Alan. Alan? He goes, I'm here. Alan, where you at?
I don't know. I'm lost. I know where it was going.
He can barely talk.
He's hoarse from yelling all night long.
Yeah.
Because he was cheering on the blues artist and giving him encouraging advice and just loving on him.
Helping the artist.
Strongly loving
him. Helping
him
out.
All night long.
So he starts going over to his friend's house, but he's not exactly sure where his friend lives.
Or where he's at. So if you don't know where you are or where you're going,
you're screwed.
You're fucked. Quite frankly.
So he's like cruising around. So we come into Collier, Vegas. We're saying, Alan, walk to the freestyle. He gets a little bit. He says, okay, I think I'm by this.
Well, you told him to stay away from the light.
Stay away. Yeah, we were telling him, Alan, don't go near the light. The light is bad, Alan. Stay away from the light.
He goes, I'm on Fletcher.
Yeah. So it's on Fletcher. So we got a landmark. We start bearing in. We get a little closer. A little closer. And then, lo and behold,
there he is.
There he is. And we pull
walking
up to him.
Walking at a brisk pace.
Walking at a brisk pace, freezing his testicles off. And we get him and say, come on in the car. He gets in the car. No sooner does he get in the car than the door shuts and two of Memphis Finest drives by.
Going the other direction.
Other direction.
We're going,
your
wife.
Shit.
Who's sober as this judge.
Yeah, she's driving. So we start driving off, thinking, oh, man, that was close.
Doing 20.
Doing 20. Speed limit.
Man, those cops, if they would have caught you, you know, walking on the streets, he'd probably...
It'd have been your ass.
Yeah.
And then the blue lights came on.
They lit her up.
And they pull us over. And the cop comes up and says, we noticed you pulled over on the side of the street. It's 4 in the morning. What are you doing? They go, well, Ossifer, it's like this.
We're all telling our same stories at once.
Yeah. Everybody said,
he was
locked out of the house. We was picking him up. We're taking him out. We're over there. And the cop goes, you can't be lying.
He said, I believe you.
I believe you. No one could make that up.
So he still gave Christie a strip search.
Yeah.
What was up with that?
The body cavity search.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. What was really bad, though?
When
she said, go back, I think you missed something. I thought it was a little much, but she was having a good time.
This cavity search took 20 minutes, man.
Yeah. And then after she was done, smoked a cigarette, got back in the car, and we took Alan home. And thus ended the second night of Memphis and Mighty.
God bless Carryville's finest.
That was fun.
These boys are bored.
Man, it's all about timing, isn't it?
It's doing the blues.
That was a blues story. I worked out pretty
good.
Done
to a blues tune.
Yeah, it was.
Hope you didn't want to hear the music.
Nah, because we
go buy it if you
fucked that up.
Actually, I recommend you buy it.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's our blues story. That was something. I mean, he dodged multiple bullets. We saved his ass, pulled him out of the fire, and he was telling me the next day, he says, I owe you a lot.
Yeah.
He says, you save my ass every day.
Sitting in the drunk tank overnight is not fun. Don't ask me how I know
that. That's right.
But I'm without beverage.
I know. Okay, so we polished off the Sam I. Ale. What's our next one?
I don't know. You're nursing it.
Well, it's good. You know, it's from the tit right here, the Avery tit. It's good.
I want you to enjoy it.
I am enjoying it. We got the...
I'll sit here and watch you enjoy it. How's that?
Okay. Well, I got a little bit. All right, so what's our next beer going to be?
I don't know. Let me go find it.
So while Rick is out looking, I'm going to tell you about him doing the Roman style.
Ouch.
Yeah, just knock those headphones. It's all paid for. Go ahead, knock it down. Now, we had a big time. at Memphis in May. It's God, I wish everybody could come down and hang with us, because it is a Memphis thing. This is it. You want to know how it is? You got to be here doing Memphis in May. I pulled that out.
I've been wanting earlier, to drink this for a long time.
The Burinator.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we got our next beer on the apparently endless show. This may end up being a two-parter or a two-hour one.
That's what happens when you get a lot of spare beers.
That's right. We got a Burinator, a Doppelbock Burinator.
And it's been sitting in my fridge forever, just waiting for us to get around to drinking the damn thing.
And here we are.
I got one in Colorado. Dick's got one here in Memphis. And that situation's going to continue for a while because I brought a suitcase full of beer.
Yeah, I know. Oh, we got some coming up here.
Ooh, it's nice and dark.
I think we might ought to do all of our audio with the music background. What do you think? That was pretty cool.
I can get some nice blues riffs behind us.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, I've noticed here lately, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube that if you go looking for artists, and I was like looking for Backdoor Slam, I was looking for this one, Abba, Memphis in May, and there's all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Out there that you can... You thinking that's a glass we need to use? All right, we're switching from the pints.
Well, the reason that we're switching is because you have a good 3 inches of Sam Ale in there.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, actually.
Christy's joined us. She's down here saying.
She's giving us her verbal approval for our last segment.
Yeah. We're going to talk about her doing the strip search.
Which cavity didn't happen. Check.
Not much.
No.
She said the part she took offense to was the... You said I was smoking.
The cigarette part, right? Nobody smokes anymore.
Right. The cavity starts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, leave that in.
So we're discussing, apparently, Christy has volunteered graciously to drive her to the airport. Apparently, she feels we've been imbibing just a bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I've had a good 2-3 years.
Here, try this. The last of the Samael. Mm-hmm. Look. Hearing a refusal live on the podcast. Here, try this.
No, thank you.
Okay. That's just wrong.
It's a really good beer, though.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I mean, I have to give kudos to Avery Brewing Company and all they do.
I know, the same.
You know, they're like 18 people, and they've got national just...
That's it? That's all there is?
Yeah.
I know there's Adam and everybody
they've got,
else, right?
And half of those 18 people are marketing people.
Yeah.
So it's like 9 people are doing the job.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
The restaurant's selling.
Really good beer.
What?
Sunday with my oysters.
Oh, yeah.
My Corona.
That's true. Even some of the worst beer in the world is damn good if you got the right ambience, right?
Today Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Cinco viva!
Orale!
Cinco de Mayo! We just realized.
There you go.
That Mexican pride.
That's right.
Well, and today's the day they won a battle against the French?
Yeah, it's not Mexican Independence Day.
No, I think they won a battle against the French.
No, I forget what it was. So, but the Cinco de Mayo, everybody screws it. No, it's isn't this the one where they honor the dead?
It's not the Mexican Día de Muerto, which is the Day of the Dead.
Okay, we're gonna have to go to Wikipedia.
All right.
And figure this out.
Clicky is
good call.
And it's your brother's birthday, right?
Yeah, it is.
Happy birthday.
I called Bruce this morning, said happy birthday, sang him a song. That was it. Okay, the story.
Thanks for the Corona reference.
That's
that
sure.
kind of got it
says,
whole thread here.
Here it is.
Bye.
Bye.
Here it is. It says.
We'll see you when it's time to go to the airport.
Okay. It says the 5th of May is not Mexican Independence Day, but it should be. I told you. And Cinco de Mayo is not an American holiday.
It's an American drinking day.
Nope.
It's like St. Patrick's Day.
It says, so why Cinco de Mayo? And why should Americans savor this day? Because 4,000 Mexican soldiers smashed the fucking French and traitorous Mexican army of 8,000 at Puebla, Mexico, 100 miles east of Mexico City, on the morning of May 5th, 1862.
That's an ass whooping, 4,000 against 8,000?
You were correct, sir. That was a French ass whipping. What have the
Who
French
ever heard
won?
Of the French losing a war or a battle?
You're kidding.
Or a skirmish. Or, well, they've lost. They won a fist fight, I can guarantee that.
It says, under Emperor Napoleon III, who detested the U.S., the French came to stay. They brought a Habsburg prince with them to rule the Mexican Empire. His name was Maximilian. His wife, Carlotta. Napoleon's French army had not been defeated in 50 years. Probably because they hadn't gone nowhere. And it invaded Mexico with the finest modern equipment with a newly reconstituted foreign legion.
Well, that was obviously before Waterloo, where he got trounced.
Yeah, had his ass handed to him.
Yeah, says, and before that, Russia. I mean, he got totally destroyed in Russia.
Yeah. It says, here you go. This is cool. This is where the U.S. connection comes in. Under the command of Texas-born General Zaragoza and the cavalry under the command of General Porfirio Diaz, later to be Mexico's president and dictator, the Mexicans kicked them some French ass. Brightly dressed French dragoons led the enemy columns, therefore providing highly visible targets for the Mexicans to pick off like fish in a barrel. The Mexican army was less stylish. They was focusing on capping some French ass. So, General Zaragoza ordered Colonel Diaz to take his cavalry, the best in the world, out to the French flanks. In response, the French did a most stupid thing. They sent their cavalry off to chase Diaz and his men, who proceeded to butcher them, thus the fish in the barrel reference.
Wow.
Remaining dumb shit French infantrymen charged the Mexican defenders through sloppy mud from the thunderstorm and through hundreds of head of stampeding cattle stirred up by Indians armed only with machetes. It was a French slaughter, those poor bastards. Yeah. So when the battle was over, many French were killed or wounded, and their cavalry was being chased by Diaz's support horsemen miles away. Mexicans had won a great victory that kept Napoleon III from supplying the Confederate rebels for another year, allowing the United States to build the greatest army the world has ever seen. And they then went to Gettysburg.
Mm.
There you go. All right. Very cool.
Got
Who knew?
Gettysburg.
Because, you know, at Big Fun We Have, we're all about beer and knowledge.
Knowledge. It's all about learning.
Knowledge is power.
That's right.
Man, this Samael's had my ass.
I'm halfway through my burinator, and you're still working on Samael.
I know. And I'm not going to stop either. Man, what's up with me? I'm getting all...
Well... You indulged a little bit more than I did. I kind of recuperated for 2 days.
So, you think?
Yeah.
It's just Bud Light. That doesn't count.
Oh, man, that stuff is foul.
Oh, no. God.
You know, I used to be a Bud Light drinker. I don't know how I did it, because I got to the bottom of a can, and I cannot finish the last 3-4 ounces of the damn can.
Me neither. It had
it
zero.
It gets warm, and it tastes like tin, you know?
It was horrible.
I don't know how I drank that stuff.
I mean, I was, you know, I'll tell you why I was drinking it.
That's all they had?
No, other people were buying it.
Oh.
Every time I turn around, somebody say, here you go. Thank you. I'd appreciate it water just as much. You know, probably been better for me, but. All right, so tell us about this beer we're drinking. The Doppelbock Baronator.
Don't know. Didn't read anything about it. It
looked
cool.
Can you read that?
I like Doppelbock.
Octian Brewery. What does that say? Says a Germanish looking beer.
Echtien Brewery, Kaufbeuren, and yeah, it's Doppelbock Baronator.
All right. What does that mean?
Well, Doppelbock, obviously, double Bock, Bock being goat.
Baronator.
Baronator.
Don't know what that means. Well, I see this. It's got a B plus. Very good.
There is nothing on the label that's useful.
It says it's 7.5%. It's a Doppelbock. Here's a review. Royalty say, appearance, rich, glowing medium brown in color. The head is small, as expected. The raw molasses and sugary malts almost seem rotten.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
They are so pungent.
I didn't need to hear that.
You liked it, though. I can pick up a smallish hint of alcohol as well. Taste, yes, this is a nice combination of super malty, heavy molasses, and liquid sugar. Mouthfeel, this did not make it to medium-bodied, and it's relatively flat, sugary, and slippery in the mouth. Drinkability? I don't know that this is the heartiest Doppelbach.
Oh, who is this guy?
It's Royal T. That biatch.
We don't really need to hear about
it. All right, the Burnator, not the Terminator, poured a dark amber color with very little foam head and occasionally sudsy lacing. Head retention was pretty minimal. Yeah, I got to go with that.
Got to go with that.
The aroma was malty caramel and alcohol. The taste was deeply compacted maltiness. Interesting with flavor, and almost thinking I was drinking a barley wine with less alcohol. It did have the big A showing through, but not excessively. Overall, it's very good, and I shall enjoy discovering its brethren.
No, it's too malty for a barley wine.
It's malty.
And it's got some sweetness to it. There's no doubt about that. And it's a dark caramel color. Low head.
Yeah. It's a sugar bottle.
Fine bottles. So.
I don't know. You know, I get the kind of slippery mouthfeel, and although it smells more sugary than it tastes to me.
There's definitely a sweetness to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but the smell is almost overwhelming in the sugar. So it's a sugar bomb for sure. Mm. Good stuff. Man, we just covered a lot of topics on this fourth segment. I think we had a segue out.
Yeah.
And so I played Life by the Drop. And that was a very cool song from Stevie Ray. It was a very acoustic-y thing. And we were listening to something a minute ago, and this is what we were outside cooking chicken to. And this guy here, he's another guy. I can't remember if he recorded it at Stax or not. We'll get our mojo hand going here. Carl...
Hopefully we'll get some production going. Things have been a little slow. We'll pick it up, no doubt. There's a point I was going to make. I totally blew it.
to regroup and come back next segment. Here's a little Carl Sims, Mojo Hand.
And I asked him what's wrong with me.
And we're continuing with our Big Bummy Head Blues background music. Yeah.
Doing it AM radio style.
I know. We're going to have to, like, play with this, like, see if we can't get the little whole ducking thing going, you know? Where we have the music up. Because it's kind of like a little tinny in the background. All right, so what are we drinking now?
Something that's really, really good.
It's some...
It came out of a can.
It's some Old Chub in the can.
Oscar Blues.
Yeah.
It's in my neck of the woods, Lyons,
Colorado. Can I read a marking and speak? Can I read one?
Amen, brother. Read it to me.
Yeah, we've heard cans are made from boring pusillanimous. Say it one more time. Pusillanimous beer. That's not for pusillanimous folks.
I'm not one of them.
No, you wouldn't. You couldn't. We couldn't agree less. Old Chub. It's a behemoth of a beer. Brewed in the tradition of the finest Scottish style ales.
We're amusing ourselves.
I know. It sounds a lot better in our ears than it does on this podcast. Yeah. We brew it with huge quantities of caramel and chocolate malts and a touch, just a tiny little touch of smashed, no, I'm sorry, smoked. I like smashed. That could perhaps be the announcer. Smoked malts.
Might be the fact you're holding a can 6 feet away.
That's because my eyeballs don't work more than 3 feet close, right? Our liquid philanthropy is your 12-ounce snub to conformity. So this is some Old Chub Scottish style ale. The problem with this, you know, reading the blues style is it takes forever.
It was a little slow. It's hard to say anything in the blues.
Jump in, man.
Richard Johnson, he took about 5 minutes to say,
you got the dog in me. And of course, we didn't cover right. You wrote a blues song.
I did write a blues song.
While we were down there.
I wrote the lyrics to a blues song, and I think it's going to be a real hit.
It's an original, too. I have never, ever heard that before.
All right, here's how the lyrics go.
Sing it.
You ready? I got the cat in me.
You got the what? What are you got, Manny?
I got the cat in me. You hear what I'm saying? Cat in me.
You got the cat in you?
I got the cat in me. That's my blues song.
Yeah, it is. I got the cat in me.
You know, I think it's going to touch a lot of people who are feeling the exact same thing.
We want you to put your hands on the radio and feel the warmth of our sincerity.
Put your hands in the air. Let's jump.
You just don't care. I'm telling you, if you could be inside our ears right now, you'd be having as good a time. We gotta work this out though, where we get something like blues music up there. It's a little quiet in the background.
It's hard to tune yourself into it.
Oh man, you gotta be there. Gonna be fun of it. So this Old Chub, man, oh my god, this is
Isn't it much better.
Oh, it's great.
Like burn air that much. A little too.
Yeah, it was a little too much. I'm not casting aspersions on the Burnator. It's just I was not in that thick a mood.
Right.
You know?
Well, I love me some Doppelbach. I drink Doppelbach a lot. I brewed one, and it stunk. It was the worst beer I ever had.
Really?
I had 5 gallons of it.
Wait a minute. I had that before. It wasn't bad.
Work to get through the damn thing. I mean, it would leave a persistent foam on the glass. It pretty much had to run through the washing machine just to get it cleaned out.
Well, this Old Chub, and I am, Scottish style ales can be really thick in the wee heavies, and this doesn't have whether they're a 90 shilling, 60 shilling wee heavy, what have you on it, but they can be real thick. This has got a good taste and cleans up nice on the
finish.
I've
got a wee heavy on tap right now that I really like.
Yeah.
It's pretty smooth.
That's right, the Scottish ales getting their malt on, right? We're doing this.
They had low hopping because the bridge kind of monopolized the hop industry, similar to now where there was a little bit of a hop shortage. So they throw heather and all sorts of different bittering weeds into the beers. But Old Chub is a wonderful style or a wonderful example of the Scottish ale.
Yeah. Now this is very tasty. I'm enjoying me some old Chubb. Right
now, they are moving to Longmont, as far as I know, which is where Left Hand Brewing's at.
Okay, from, so they're moving from Oscar Blues.
One Lions.
Oscar Blues is moving?
Yeah. They're going to do the major production. The pub and the bar is going to stay in place, and they're the smaller brewing facility, I think. Probably they're going to brew for the pub alone, but they're going to do national brewing.
Yeah.
In Lions.
Well, you know, what's up with that? Because Flying Dog packed their shit.
Well,
I know. I reckon. Is there an economic issue in Denver?
Lions wasn't going to let them expand, so Longmont would.
Huh?
Yeah. And it's not far. I mean, it's pretty close. This one's down the valley. The other one's up in the mountains. Lions is kind of a snooty community, you know. It's a smaller area.
Yeah.
They don't want a big brewing facility like Coors there, which has completely taken over Golden.
Hmm. Well, we don't need any of that. There's a little clever segue there. You heard that? No, bright. Bam, just like that.
Right on to the next blues song.
This is all blues all the time. We have it, like, playing in the background.
Write in and let us know what you think. I know you won't, because nobody ever freaking writes in. But
that's right. Plus you can't without registering now. Now, if you could hear this in the background, we're going to work on the audio on this. I think this is a different format. That's a little Anita Peebles tune, made famous by Paul Young in the 80s. And our friends, Hot Monkey Love, singing Come Tell Your Playhouse Down, while we turn down an old chug.
And this is actually more like the way we drink beer. We sit around and listen to music and drink the beer.
Yeah, this is what we do. This is what we do when we're not on the mic. It's kind of different, right?
Right. I like it.
I think we're breaking new wind here. You think?
Going into our third year of Big Pony Head soon.
No kidding. July. 3.0.
Good.
Of course, we're no Jeffrey Tick. And no, mention that we had that was very cool having that Vertical Epic last show. That, man, I mean, that was sweet. That was a sweet beer. We're going to have to get some and cellar them and do that. Because that was very nice having that.
Yeah, talk about jumping on bandwagon right when the 888 comes out, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what about the other 7 years?
I know. We got to put them out. You got to put it up at least 5 years. Wait.
Yeah, but we don't have 111. We don't have 222.
I know. We ain't got anything. We're going to go find some.
We need to start working on it.
Buy $80 for that bottle there, man, on eBay. And if you want to try the Vertical Epic, go to eBay. I noticed some guys pimping them some beer out of Muncie, Indiana.
And Preppinor is selling it for $85 a bottle.
Right. You can have your beer, too. All right, so the old Chub, we have just been cleaning the refrigerator out here. And we're drawing to a close where we're going to have to pack it up. It's a sad time. We got to tear our playhouse down.
It's nice to do a show live again.
I know, isn't it? It's been too long.
Yeah, too long.
Although, honestly, we were going to put your picture on the speaker. Look, Rick, this is you. That's
okay,
you.
I'm
right
a little black.
You're a little black square. And we look at you right there. We got to, like, put your picture on it. All that's right. What we're used to seeing. Rick is a little black square. So nice to actually get you in there. And so this is where we do the clever segue.
A little harp.
Of course, they can't hear that. It's not coming through as well on the microphone. That's kind of wave. You're like eating a mic. Yeah, well, this is experimental here. We'll get better at it, right?
Got something else?
No, you don't care for that? Okay. And this is a call-in show. You know, like, actually, I was going to play 3 O'Clock Blues. How about this?
Nice.
A little smooth.
That's much better.
Yeah. I know. Maybe I need to get a mic up here by the speaker.
3 o'clock in the morning.
I think it picked up a little bit.
Well, I hope that people are getting a little bit of a feel for what we experienced during the Memphis Music Festival. I mean,
yeah, because that's how it is all the time. All blues, all the time. We're just rocking
like
out on the river.
Partying, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Today's been a pretty good day. We've had a lot of good beers, some good barbecue, and a lot of good blues.
Yep.
A big time. So I guess we're going to have to call it a show. It's getting close to that time. My wife's going to pack us into the car and drive us to the airport.
Pour me onto the airplane.
Pour you on, as it should be.
Been a good time. I hope you guys experienced this sometime in your lifetimes. I know we have international listeners and worldwide listeners. So,
Looking forward to some of them
trying to hit Memphis in May.
And some
either
of our,
the Barbecue Fest or the Memphis in May Music Fest.
They're some of our friends come to see us later this summer.
They kind of blow you away. It's a good time. It's nothing different.
I know.
Or nothing better, I should say.
It ain't nothing but a party. All right, so. Yeah, Rick, glad to have you at least live for a change.
No time delay.
That's right. We have to do this at least once or twice a year.
I think so.
Without exception. Although, you know, this does make the shows longer with those dramatic pauses.
Well, we got to listen to the music in between, right?
All right, Chris, she's got the door open. She's saying it's time to go.
All right, so we're going to sign out.
All right, see you next time.
Drive safe.
Best intentions were always with you. And don't raise your voice, just try to understand. Save your loving for some other man. Oh, you must have gotten me confused with some other man who would lay it down on the line for you. Tell me, how can I trust you when you can't trust yourself? I gotta leave you, baby. Sometimes it was so sweet, in between a lying. Every time we spent laughing, there were two times where I was crying. Oh,
got me confused with some other man who lay it down on the lounge for you. Tell me, how can I trust you when you can't trust yourself? I gotta leave you, baby. Trust you when you can't trust yourself.